because my wife was a full-time pioneer. I was a temporary pioneer. That means you put in 100 hours a month knocking on doors. And we were just really active in this area. In fact, I remember the first time I walked in through these doors over here, I was so scared because I thought that this was Babylon the Great. They told us, man, this is false religion and you are in it to the max, you know. And of course, that really scared us, Ben. But it's exciting that we were saved here. And I remember the day that we were sitting back there for the first service, that we had been in a church for years. And we sat back there and my wife cried. She cried for about 4 weeks straight. I mean, she wasn't just the normal cry, you know. She just really got it going. In fact, she used to wear these dark sunglasses. And people used to think that she was a space case, you know. But she would cry so hard, her eyes would get bloodshot. And then she would set my kids off. You know, I sat here, my wife was here, and my kids kind of sat along like that. And she would always give us a warning, though, you know. She'd go, eh. And, hey, after that, it was all over, you know. She'd go, ah, you know. And then my kids would go, ah, you know, right down the line. So, this place has a real special meaning to me. It's just, even though it's been now like 14 years, and the Lord has led us into a lot of exciting places. We've seen thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses come to the Lord, not just one or two. And we've seen in the few years that God has used this even beyond what we could personally believe. You know, I mean, I just didn't know any better, you know. I just said, hey, you know, God said, pick up your cross and follow me. And I just did that, you know. And I took a group of guys and girls and everything, and we went out on the streets, and we'd get blown away, going to get Jehovah's Witnesses, and come back and go to the drawing board, and go again, and then go back out, and nothing happened, and nothing happened, and nothing happened. And pretty soon they started coming to the Lord. And God started really blessing the effort. And then we started seeing kingdom halls closed. Hey, there's nothing needed to see a whole kingdom hall go, you know? Really. And, you know, I'd just like to share this with you. Calvary Chapel is really, especially this one, because they had a write-up in one of the Watchtower magazines about Calvary Chapel. Now, isn't that neat? You know, 53 million magazines. And you got a write-up in it. Amen. That's exciting. You know, they get a little paranoid when they come to the door, you know, they knock on the door. And we were out here knocking on the doors for 5 years. 5 years. And tonight I wanted to share with you because I really believe that we have to know. How many are familiar with Walter Martin? Good friend of mine, a little different approach, you know, what can I say? Love you, Walter. But a little different approach. But what I like to see is I'm not really a fighter. I just like to win, you know. Isn't that something? And you see, when I get up there, I believe that we have the true Jesus, the real Holy Spirit, the real gospel, and we should be in control, and we should be having fun. I mean, I really do. I used to go out, and my jaws would lock. I'd get mad. In fact, I used to have to catch my wife a few times. She'd run after him. And if you get to meet my wife later on, she'll be outside there by our tables. But she's not the type that runs after him. You know, she's just real mellow. She doesn't chase anybody. She did a few Hare Krishnas. But that was a switch for her. Oh, gosh, it was funny. She had him running. I thought I was going to see her out in front of Safeway or something selling candies. But what I wanted to share with you tonight is not how to battle, but how to win them to the Lord. You know, I really believe we need to know how to win them to Jesus. And the only thing, I think the best thing I can share with you is because this is a I have to tell you, it's a proven method. We have dealt with them, and it's great. And also with the Mormons. I mean, God has led us into the area of the Mormons, too, and it's just as neat. We've seen them check in their 10 speeds, you know, and we go from there. Amen? But, you know, what can I say? We got a lot of room out here for 10 speeds. So, how many have had a Jehovah Witness come to your door? Hold them up for a minute. My goodness. Look around. Leave them up. Look around. Hey, they're out there. And you know, I want to show you something, because when we used to go door to door, it was funny because we'd knock on the door, you know, and the curtain would open. See, we got a whole group of curtain people right here. And the curtain would open and they would peek, but nobody would come out. We had peekers, you know, undercover agents for Jesus. Amen. And then on this side over here, we have, I used to have all kinds of things happen to me. I've had dogs sicked on me. I remember one lady, she said, "Oh, Brownie won't hurt you." Wouldn't hurt her, but he was foaming at his lips right there by my leg, you know. He really wanted me. All kinds of things happened to me. I just can't tell you the disastrous things that happened out there. But I never had one person, I mean somebody, in 5 years should have opened the door and said, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus." Don't you think? I mean, in 5 years, if I take you and we go knocking on doors, somebody will open the door, even if they don't know what they're doing, and say, "Let me tell you about Jesus." But nobody did that. In 5 years, nobody did it to my wife. Now, I know that we send money to Bangladesh and Korea and Tokyo and, you know, all these neat places. But hey, we've got them coming to our doors equipped, Bibles in their hands, knocking at our doors with a Bible in their hand. You don't even have to buy them a Bible. Amen? Hey, they come equipped. I mean, I'm not trying to stop you from, you know, aid in Bangladesh. But when they stand there like this, you know, and we hide. Think about it. Are you really there? I mean, you really want to know about Jesus, man? I see you got a Bible. Wow. I'll just hide and peek. You know, I used to go out and I'd knock at the door. And then I'd turn like this. And I'd start waving at the curtain. I freaked a few of them out like that, too, you know. It's weird. You kind of lose your mind after a while if you do that too much. And that's probably what's wrong with me, you know. I'm a door knocker burnout, I think. But let me share with you how you really need to do it. First of all the cults come to you, and when they come to your door, they are looking for persecution. You don't know that. But the next time you open the door and you say, "Hey, take your watchtower and all your stuff and get lost, man. I don't ever want to see your junk around here ever again. The next time I'm going to sick the dog on you." Now, they'll go back to the kingdom hall and they'll sit there and they'll say, "Oh, you know, I was out at this guy's house and, you know, I was really persecuted today, you know, for Jehovah." And see, you've pumped them up. You have pumped them up. Now, what you've got to do, and let me tell you something, don't anybody leave, because we're going to pray tonight, sometime tonight, that a Jehovah Witness will come to your door. Watch those exits. Hallelujah. All right, it's going to be exciting. We're going to have a revival on the doorstep. They come to us. Now, the next time a Jehovah Witness comes to your door, okay, first of all, you probably see that they're coming in. You know, you're not going to be, you know, all perfect and ready, you know, have my book standing there ready, you know, and they come and you, "Oh, I just happen to have it," you know. It doesn't work like that. You know, you got it buried up here on the shelf or something. You got to run around. But they will come. When we pray, they will come. And then you can be ready. You can be waiting for them. Now, when they knock on your door, first thing you do, wet your lips. Now, you're not going to kiss them. But you're going to give them a good welcome. All right? So you open up the door and you say, "Oh, Mr. Jehovah Witness, praise God. There you are. You know, just the other day we had prayed that you'd come to the door and you'll scatter their marbles. Amen. You know, they're going, hey, what is this, man? This guy is weird. You are weird, you know it? The Bible says you better be weird, right? It says we're going to be peculiar people, weird people. To them, when they go, hey, this guy's friendly, you know, you are weird. See, normally they'll have a little trainee, and he wants to go to the kingdom hall now and resign, see? Because he'd never seen anybody like you, see? They knock on 20 doors, everybody's sicking dogs on them, slamming the doors on them, cussing them out, everything. They come to you, you open up the door and been praying for them. Now, there they are. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And they're checking you out. They're thinking, I wonder where this guy goes to church. So they're going to try to pin you down. You see, they're going to put you in a little cubby hole. You know, if you say, oh, I go over to such and such a church. And they're going to say, oh, do you believe in that devilish doctrine, speaking in tongues? You're going to go, oh, yeah, man, I do. Wow, they'll take you out left field, and you'll have a big conversation of that. If you say, oh, I believe in something else, they'll take you off that way. If they ask you, first thing they're going to do is try to pin you down. They're going to say, well, what kind of church are you? I mean, they want to know, where does this kind of a person come from? That's what they want to do, you know? And you can just say, hey, you know, we're Christians. You know, the Bible says we're two or more gathered. Hey, the Lord's there. You know, sometimes my wife and I just gather, and then sometimes three or four of us, and then sometimes 1,000. We never, hardly ever know who's going to show up. And they'll say, but what church do you go to? Well, we can go any church. See, sometimes we have church out on the lawn, or sometimes we'll have church in the house, and sometimes we'll have church in the building, two or more, right? Now, what are they going to do? Say no? Sometimes you'll have to go like this. See, to get them moving, you know? And then the next thing they're going to do is they're going to try to sell you a watchtower. Now, that's what they're going to try to do. And here's the hardest part for you. Now, I'm giving you the hardest encounter, which is at the door. Now, if you have friends and relatives that are involved in these things, you can do it a lot easier because it's more personal. Now, if here they're at the door, you've never seen them, you don't know their names, you don't know anything about them, what you want to do is just stand there. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. It's a great day. God's answered your prayer, brought them right there to the door. So smile. Hey, you've got the real thing. They've got parquet. Amen. You guys got butter. Amen. And so, here we are. We're at the door. Enjoy the Lord, man. Don't go, I'm going to kill him with the truth, man. You know, just relax, enjoy it. And they're going to say, well, we have a great, you know, they always have this big satchel with them, you know, and they whip out their watchtower, you know, and they'll present you with a little article. And this is normally their conversation. I think I could pretty much just about move their mouth. They'll say, what do you think of the last days? Now, don't get into a big theological thing of, you know, the ozone and everybody's zone, you know. Just get into one thing. It's terrible. Amen? It ain't a big deal. It's terrible. Okay, now they're really going to... See, they want to get you in... You are so weird. They want to get you in this conversation bad, you know. They've never seen anything like you. Okay, what is the answer? I mean, what do you think is the answer to this terrible situation? Jesus. That's it. That's it. Now, after you've given them that, see, then they don't know what to do with you. They don't know where you're at, where you're coming from. You know, two or more, you're a Christian. I mean, they can't attack you. You're just so good, you know. And you're smiling. You know, it's hard to attack somebody when they smile. Did you know that? Now, if your teeth are gripped more and you're all dug in, they're going to get you. I mean, who wants to join that? You know, who would want to join somebody with lockjaw? Right? All mad all the time. Okay, now, they're going to go like this. This is the hardest part. Just keep your cool for about 2 minutes. Just kind of look over their head. Just kind of gaze over their head. And just be, you know, thinking, oh, isn't God great? You know, he just answered my... You know, talk to yourself. Have you ever done that? I know you have. Anyway, just keep it up. And they'll talk. They'll say, oh, this is a beautiful watchtower about blah, 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 blah. They'll go through their whole little deal. It takes them about 2.5 minutes. My wife, I used to time them. My wife used to say, honey, don't look at your watch. You know, that is gross. You know, you embarrass me when you do that. So I don't, you know, I don't even have a watch. So I don't look anymore, but I know it's 2.5 minutes. So all I do is I grab my pants, you know, and I just look and I just thank the Lord. And that's the hardest part for you. You think you can get that one? It is. That's the toughest part. Now, when it's all over, they'll try to sell you the watchtower. Here it comes. Well, this is, and they'll try to put it in your hand. Now it's your turn. It's your turn now. You say, oh, wait a minute. Mr. Jehovah Witness, listen. Really, I am excited you're here. But I don't want your watchtower. But I have a life and death question to ask you. They're going to go, oh, man, a life and death question? I've been waiting. You know, they've hit all these doors. And now you have a question. This is fabulous. See, but in apologetics, you want to cut off all the exits? It's like chess, you know? It's great. So what you do is you set the stage. Don't ask them your question till you cut off all the exits. Mr. Jehovah Witness, listen. I just want to, before I ask you my question, I have a few little things I just want to ask you. Will you promise me that you'll stay here for at least a half hour? I mean, can you give me a half hour's worth of time before I ask you my question? You see, because I've learned that every time I apply the heat to them, they go, oh, I got to go. You ever notice that? So they leave. The Mormons are great at that. I think they have a watch that rings when it gets hot or something, you know. But anyway, they're great as escaping like that. So I learned that you cut that escape off. And they'll say, oh, of course. We'll be glad to be here. We've got 30 minutes. See, they think they're going to take you to lunch in about 10 minutes. They're not going to need to be here for 30 minutes. Now, the next thing you say is, Mr. Jehovah Witness, listen, I really don't want to fight. You know, I just want this to be friendly. Can we have it really friendly? I mean, will you smile? I mean, you know, if I ask you a question and, you know, it may sound silly, but will you not get mad? Will you promise me you will not get mad? And I always use the word promise because it works great. And they say, oh, I promise. We're not here to get mad. We're Jehovah's Christian witnesses. I say, oh, that's neat. You're not going to get mad and you'll stay for 30 minutes. I just reinforce that. And they say, yes, yes. Now, Mr. Jehovah, one other little thing. If, by chance, you should find out that Jehovah's Witnesses do not have the truth. I mean, just if. Now, here's what they'll say. Well, we know we have the truth or we wouldn't be at your door. And I would say, well, I know that. But if, you know, the Bible does say all things are possible. And if, you know, if by chance that you found out that you did not have the truth, would you resign? And they say, of course. Oh, great. Now, here's my life and death question, Mr. Jehovah Witness. Now, you switch it over to the word organization. Don't use the word individual. The individual is deceived. He's not the deceiver. And you say, now, Mr. Jehovah Witness, does your organization claim to be a prophet? Oh, these guys are sharp. If you get a super sharp one, let me give you their answer. I can give you their answers, too. We have those written down in this book. This is their answer. Oh, we're a prophet in a sense. And you go, prophet in a sense? Your mainspring will go, bam. The best thing to do is just keep smiling. Say, Mr. Jehovah Witness, listen. I've read this Bible quite a few times. I've seen true prophets. I've seen false prophets. Could you just show me the prophet in a sense? And give him your Bible. Now, they don't want to take your Bible. See, they'll be real hesitant. And say, well, okay, look it up in your Bible. We have 30 minutes. Then smile. It's neat. Now, you see, he's got the trainee with him. And he doesn't want to lose face. So what he's going to do, he's going to open his Bible. And he's going to say, oh, sure, you know, there's no profit in a sense. He can flip all day long. So he starts flipping, and he's going to flip, and that's all right. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord while he turns a few pages. Amen? Just enjoy it. You win. And just stand there, you know, just smile at the little trainee. He wants to exit, you know. He wants to exit bad. He wants to leave bad, you know. But you've got him locked in now, see, for 30 minutes. Now, and just smile, you know, and kind of shake your head a little at him, you know, and offer concordance. Hey, come on, be a sport, you know. You know, we can go ahead and Mr. Jehovah Witness, I've got a little something in the house, you know, we can look up profit in a sense, huh? That'd be nice. Well, now see, you have lit the fire, see? Now it's time that they're going to feel a little pressure, and it's just, you're just having an exciting time in Jesus. Now, what they're going to say is, well, what are they going to say? There's only two things left. They're true or they're false. Have you ever had anybody come to your door and go, hi, I'm your false prophet? Huh? They don't show up like that, do they? So the only thing he's going to end up saying is he's a true prophet. See, you work him all around, let him flip pages, and he comes right up with it. He says, well, they really don't want to say it. So you'll notice that they choke a lot. They'll say, well, I guess we are true prophets. Oh, that's neat. I mean, you sure you are. I mean, you wouldn't be that other one. No. We're true prophets. Great. Isn't that neat? A true prophet of God at my door. Hey, this is exciting. Now, Mr. Jehovah Witness, listen. Do you mind if I share I want to give you a couple scriptures. In Matthew chapter 7, turn with me there. Matthew chapter 7. And let's start with verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Now this is Jesus speaking. Not Eric, not your friend, Jesus. Beware of false prophets. Jesus is saying, hey, these guys are out there. Okay, first of all, what is a prophet? A lot of people don't even know what a prophet is. A prophet, basically, is a glorified Western Union delivery boy. Really? He gets the message. It's not his message. God gives him a message. He gets the message. He brings it over here and he goes, la, 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 whatever the message is. It's not his. Now, what happens if it doesn't come true? Hey, he either made it up, somebody lied to him, could have been another little angel. You know, a lot of angels appear. Not all of them are of God. Right? So, Jesus says here, he says, beware of false prophets, watch this, who come to you. Isn't that exciting? Could have put on 10 speeds in there, you know? We might as well catch them. Who come to you in sheep's clothing. Doesn't mean they're going to show up and go, bah, you know, it means they're going to look nice and innocent and sweet and just wonderful. And then here it says, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Jesus said, hey, don't look at the outside. Look underneath and maybe you'll see some paws. I had a lady in one of my services, she said, oh, Brother Greasehopper, she said, I know exactly how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm always interested in new methods, you know. I said, share it with me. She said, well, do you know that Jehovah's Witnesses will not salute the flag? How many know that? They won't. They'll go hide. So if you're at a baseball game or something and they play the national anthem, go to the bathroom, because that's where all the Jehovah's Witnesses are at. They're all in there hiding. You can get a good witness in. Captive audience for a few minutes. And she said, oh, she said, I get this little flag of mine. And she said, and one day, she said, I was looking out my window, and I seen these two nice, wonderful-looking ladies coming up with those black bags. She said, I was ready for them. She said, I had my flag right there. And she said, I was standing at the door. And she said, a knock came at the door, and I opened up the door, and I slapped my flag out there like that. And I said, you salute it, and I'll buy everything you've got. And the woman said, I pledge allegiance was the Avon lady. So let me tell you, I think that woman hit it. She probably just dumped her purse and said, oh, hallelujah, got a live one here, you know. But that's not the way we do it, you know. Got to qualify them a little bit more. Amen. Isn't God good? Anyway, the Lord says in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Now, you know, a lot of cults use that scripture against Christians. They'll say, oh, you'll know a Christian by his fruits. No, you don't. You don't know a Christian by his fruits. You see, if that brother right there walks outside and he's smoking a big old long cigar, you don't do that, do you? But anyway, if he did, he's still smiling. If he went out there and he was, you know, puffing like that, and somebody seen him, they'd say, well, is that a Christian? Well, sure he's a Christian. If he accepted Jesus, he's a Christian, right? You know, because he's bellowing in smoke, you know, what is that? I mean, it's an ugly, filthy, rotten, stinking habit and expensive, but that has nothing to do with him being a Christian. Somebody asked me, see, the thing about it is, you know, we catch the fish and the Holy Spirit cleans them. Amen? But, you see, the thing of it is, if you start catching and cleaning, you're in trouble. I don't like to be cleaned by you, and you don't like to get cleaned by me. So, you know, we just let the Lord do it, and it works out great. I had one fellow come up and he said, will cigarette smoking send you to hell? I said, no, just make you smell like you've been there. Amen? Amen, that's all it does. Sure is ugly. Well, glory, if you smoke, shame on you. All right, and the Lord says, you will know them. Okay, then who is the them? Who is the them? The them, in context, is a false prophet. Of verse 15. You see, the Lord says, beware of false prophets. Then in verse 16, he says, you'll know them, you'll know the false prophet, by their fruits. Okay? The fruitage of a grapevine, grapes. The fruitage of a peach tree, peaches. The fruitage of a prophet, his prophecies. His prophecies. I mean, if we line Jehovah's Witnesses along that wall, and we put Gardner Ted's group over there and Herbert W.'s group over there, you know, they had a little split there, and then put the Mormons over here, they all have one thing. They say, we're the truth, we're the truth, we're the truth, we're the truth, and we're in the middle saying, we're the truth. It's kind of like, will the real Jesus please stand up? Really, isn't it? It's what all these people are saying. Now, the whole idea is, Jesus said, you're going to know them by their fruit. You're going to know them by their prophecies. Did you know that these groups get so far out on the limb? Some of them say, well, they got it under a rock. An angel appeared to them. And some of them got it some other way. Some of them had a whole group of angels appear to them. Now, you know, not every angel is of the Lord. Isn't that the truth? Some of them are not nice angels. They're ugly angels. You know, that are taking the side of the devil. Now, the Lord tells us how to test one who presumes to be a prophet of God. And that's in Deuteronomy. This is a test. I want you to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's look at verse 20. Deuteronomy 18. And let's start with verse 20. But the prophet, whoever that may be, whether it's Joseph Smith, whether it's Brigham Young, whether it's, you know, whichever the group is that gets out on that limb and says, I am a prophet of God, he needs to be put to this test. Now, some people say, well, don't you make mistakes? I say, I make plenty of them. But I never said I'm a prophet of God. So I can be flaky, but I'm not a prophet of God, you see. When you say, I am a prophet of God, you have taken a supernatural step, and you better be 100% right. Not 99, not 98, 100. Because God can't lie, can he? The scripture says it's impossible for God to lie. Now here's the test. But the prophet, whoever that may be, who shall speak a word, one word, presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Now in the Old Testament, the way they dealt with a false prophet, you see, if that brother right there was a false prophet, see, he's not even looking now. Okay, if he was a false prophet in the Old Testament, they would take him, line him up on the wall, the elders would get their stones, they'd stone him to death. It was capital punishment. You popped off, you got popped off. It was just that simple. Now today, we have them coming out of the woodwork, don't we? I mean, everybody's saying, oh, God told me this, oh, God told me that, oh, God showed me this, oh, God showed me that. You know, it's unbelievable. And a lot of people are following these mass groups. Some of these groups are growing at 8 and 10%. I mean, that is a phenomenal growth. And they're growing because people believe their prophet. Now, the Lord says, okay, what about the New Testament? We don't stone them anymore. But the Lord says, flee from the false prophet. And he says that he's going to take care of the false prophet himself. Now, I wouldn't want to be under that. Here's the test. Let's go a little further. Verse 21, and you may say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing, one thing, does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. God says, okay, first of all, once you check his prophecies, if they fail, don't be afraid of him. You know, false prophets carry fear. There's a lot of fear there that you may not be in the truth or you may not be in the right group or something. And the Lord says, check them. Very simple to check them. Now, let's go back to the Jehovah Witness at your door. All right? Now, first of all, when they knock on the door, don't just stick this book out and go, ah, you know, scare them running down the road with it. Or, you know, if you speak in tongues, start speaking in tongues or something, you know. Cool it. You know, you've got to, this front of this is for you. See, it looks real pretty and all that. Okay, that's for you. So it looks pretty. And by the way, never give a Jehovah Witness a book. Sell it to him. Amen. I mean, make him use it. Now, when you do have one, bend the front back, you see, because that's for you. The inside's for them. We don't want to get them mad. Now, after they come to your door and you're back to the question, you haven't taken your book out yet, your book's still aside someplace. And you say, now, Mr. Jehovah Witness, here is my life and death question. Does your organization claim to be a prophet? And, of course, they're going to go through the whole little thing. They come back to, yes, we're a prophet. Now, Mr. Jehovah Witness, and I take them right to Deuteronomy, and I show them the test. Now, here's where I switch to Mormons. When you're witnessing to a Jehovah Witness, use a Mormon as an example. When you're witnessing to a Mormon, use a Jehovah Witness as an example. Let them get mad at each other. We're always the good guys. Amen? Hey, why get them mad at us? We want them to join us. Right? So, use the Mormon. Say, Mr. Jehovah Witness, how can we tell whether Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God? Most of them will just answer you real fast. They'll say, well, he's a false prophet. We know that. Say, well, maybe you think so. But how can we tell for sure? I mean, after all, let's give the guy a fair chance. Does he claim to be a prophet? Yes. Has he made false prophecies? Yes. Well, now, Mr. Jehovah Witness, then get yourself lost. If I claim to be a prophet, I don't, but if I did, and I made some prophecies, how many would I have to make before I became a false prophet? How many would have to fail? They'll say, one? Great. Now it's your turn. Does your organization, you said they, you did claim to be a true prophet, would this test also be for you? Now you'll see this little knot kind of drop in their throat, and they'll say, they don't want to answer. They don't want to answer. They'll say, well, and you'll have to go like that. You'll start have to move your head, see, because they're in stun mode now. Right? They can't exit. They can't leave. You have got them for 30 minutes. Right? It's great. And you can smile because you got the Lord. Isn't that neat? Well, Mr. Jehovah Witness, I mean, after all, does the test change? I mean, do we kind of come from Mormons to me, to you, and then we change? I mean, or is it kind of a standard test? And they'll say, well, it's the same test. Great. And they'll say, but we've never made any false prophecy. They'll end that statement and they'll give you another one. They'll say, well, but we've made mistakes. You say, oh, isn't that something? Maybe you've made mistakes, but you see, when a prophet says something, it is not a mistake, is it? See, if I say something, it doesn't happen, it's a mistake. Or something. Because I never said I'm a prophet. But when you say something as a prophet, it's a false prophecy or a true prophecy. Isn't that right? And they'll say, well, yes, that's right. But we've never made any false prophecies. Then you say, oh, well, that's great. Now, you don't mind. See, don't bring the book out yet. You've got to time this just right. You want them way out there on that limb. See, you've worked for 10 minutes getting them out on that limb. Now you want to be back here going, amen? This is the great part. Maximum drop. Amen? Then you run over and give them Jesus, and they'll accept. It's neat. So, say, well now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, listen. You don't mind doing what Jesus said. He said, test the prophet. I mean, don't you think we could do that? And what are they going to say? No? You know, you hold them. You show them the Bible. And they'll say, well, yes, that'll be fine. Oh, well, great. Now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, listen. I just happen to have a list here of prophecies that the Watchtower Society has made. And see, this whole sheet is about 20 prophecies. I know you can't see it. And they're all out of their watchtowers and their books. So I just hold this like this, and I normally have a little pencil, and I just say, oh, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, it's such a beautiful day, isn't it? And you know something? We got 20 minutes left. My wife said, honey, you burn them. You. And you know, I used to be real mean, but I have mellowed, you know. I really have. You'll see. The first prophecy here, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, this is the first prophecy. You have to point at it. He does not. They're not going to want to look. They look like this. They'll be looking like this. And I, always, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, I go, hey, this is the first one. We'll keep score, okay? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read you the prophecy. If it happens, you know, you say it happened, okay? I give you a T. You got a true. You see? And if it didn't happen, then I give you an F. False. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? You'll have to do like this, see, because they don't want to answer you. And the little trainee, let me tell you, they know there's heat. Now, here's the first one, Mr. Jehovah's Witness. Let me just read this to you. This is really a neat one. The battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14. That happens to be Armageddon, see? Which will end in A.D. 1914 with the complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership is already commenced. Now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, here's my question. Did the end of the world come in 1914 and I missed it? Or is that an F? And I just stand there. You know, I got 20 minutes. And I smile, and they go, well, listen, you know, I really don't know about these things. You know, I'm just trying to do what Jesus said. T or F it, you know? Amen? And, you know, and they'll say, well, my wife really gets me at this one. She says, honey, don't squash them on the first one. Come on. Give them some slack. Now I have started to give them some slack. So this is what I do. Well, if you don't know whether the end came in 1914 or not, I'll give you a question mark, okay? Huh? I mean, that's about the best I can do, you know? I think that's pushing it right there, but... And now they'll say, well, I want to give you their answers too. It's only fair. Well, I never heard of that, and I just don't know about that one right there. But Mr. Jehovah's Witness, if it was true, and it was said, and everything, would that be true or false? Well, I'm just not sure. I may have to bring some elders back. Okay, I let them slack on that one. Okay, great. Let me write elders on this one, okay? Elders. See, you can always get the elders back. It's even better. You see, that's the way you get the whole kingdom hall. Right? Go for the throat. Amen? Hey, you get a whole congregation outside your door. Well, now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, I mean, you know, one is just not really fair, even though Jesus did say one, you know, didn't he? I mean, I'll give you a little more slack, you know, than Jesus did. Well, down here it is now. Our Lord, the appointed king, is now present since 1874. According to the testimony of the prophets, of those who have ears to hear it. Did Jesus come in 1874? They'll say, oh, I never heard of that. Well, I haven't heard of it either. I didn't know he came in 1874, you know. Maybe he came and checked things out, left again. You know, you hardly know when he's coming, you know. I mean, how many times has he come, Mr. Jehovah's Witness? They'll say, well, you know, because their teaching is that he came in 1914. Say, well, he came in 1874, and then he came back again in 1914, and I don't know, he may have a few more trips in between there, you know. Now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, here's a neat one. I mean, after all, this is great. You just give me this. This is in the year 1920. Here's what was said by the president of the Watchtower Society, and here's the book right here. It's all in here. Therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, particularly those named by the apostles in Hebrews chapter 11 to the condition of human perfection. Now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, here's my question. Have you seen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob around? Now, I have to give you the best answer. This was really one, I'll tell you, I wasn't ready for this one. This guy said, well, they may be around here someplace. I said, are you trying to tell me now? Let me get this straight. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these guys, they're out on the L.A. freeway since 1920. I mean, where are these guys? You know, got those gowns on, stand there with their staffs, you know. You know, I mean, what are they doing? You know, really, where are they? The guy said, well, I don't know, but if that was the prophecy, they're here. I said, well, you know, I kind of thought, you know, that one of you guys would think that they were around or something like that. But, you know, they built a house for them in San Diego, California, you know. I mean, after all, they didn't want them wandering around on the freeways too much. And they get to that house. This guy said, what house? I said, this Spanish-style home here. I said, I happen to have a picture of it. You know, it's kind of neat. Looks really neat. Here's a picture of the house, you see. Kind of, I know you can't see it from there, but it's a, you know, nice Spanish-style home worth about $150,000 at that time. And those faithful men of old were expected back any day. And do you think they're there? He says, well, if that was the prophecy, they're there. I said, well, you know, it was interesting that they tried to deed this house to David. San Diego said, you are nuts. When David shows up, he can have the house. You know, but he's not here now. This guy went, he lost it, you know, on my doorstep. He checked out on me right there. You know, he said, well, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of. I said, I agree, man, I agree. Hey, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, that's what makes me wonder why you're out here. You know? He said, well, I can't hardly believe that. I said, well, you know, I knew somebody might not believe it, you know? And, of course, San Diego made him put it in the deed of trust. And I just happen to have the deed right here. See that? Isn't that exciting? You know? See, and in here, I've just got to read you. See, they couldn't deed it to that, so they put it in this deed of trust. And this is what they say. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society shall have the right to reside on said premises until the appearing of David or some of the other men mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Huh? As above set forth, every such person or person so designated by Joseph F. Rutherford, who was the president, in such lease or other paper writing, shall have the right and privilege of residing on said premises until the same be taken possession of by David or some of the other men herein named, and this property and premises being dedicated to Jehovah and the use of his kingdom, it shall be used as such forever. Now watch this. This is the part I love. Any person appearing to take possession of said premises shall first prove and identify themselves. You got to have a driver's license or something, yeah? To the proper officer of said society as the person or persons described in Hebrews chapter 11 in this deed. Hey, Does that sound like these guys are one brick short of a full load? Huh? I asked this guy, I said, how can you possibly believe that? I mean, here they got this house, and you know, you got these guys out, you know, with these old robes on, heading for San Diego. He said, well, if it's in the deed, they'll be there. I said, you really believe that, man? Yes. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I thought somebody might believe that, you know, that sometime they'd straggle out, you know, and say, hey, man, I'm David, you know, right? But see, the interesting thing is they sold this house in 1954. I guess they waited long enough, right? I mean, nobody showed up. And they sold the house to Dr. Chan, who happens to be a born-again Christian. Isn't that neat? And he doesn't like Jehovah's Witnesses peeking over the fence to look for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, see? He doesn't think that's cool. Now, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, listen, you come to my door this morning, I mean, we got about 15 minutes left, and you know, I always remind them of the time so they can't escape, and you've told me that your organization is true, you're here at my door, I mean, you look real nice and happy and everything, and you knock on my door, you tell me you're God's organization, and I open my door up, I give you a nice welcome. Here, I mean, after all, we're doing what Jesus said, right? We're checking it. And you've got 1914, no show, 1918, no show, 1925, no Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, you know, am I supposed to grab a watchtower and follow you? And then, how about, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, how about your president? Would you believe the president of your Watchtower Society under oath? Would you believe that? They'll say, yes. Do you think that he would lie with his hand on the Bible? I mean, here he is in the court. You know, would he give you a big one? No. Would he give you a big one without his hand on the Bible? No. What if he did? Well, I don't know. He's only human. Well, let me show you. Under oath, he said, you're false prophets. I got the whole court case. Now, do you believe? I mean, all your prophecies have gone down the tubes, and your president says you're false prophets under oath, and that you have to accept that. Now, Jesus says you don't have to accept that. You have to flee. See, in John, in fact, I even have that in here. It's really neat. I have a picture of a little guy. It says, if Jehovah's Witnesses are not the truth, then what is? And they'll say that to you. They'll say it standing at your door. They'll say, well, if this isn't the truth, then what is? Hey, don't keep on talking. They want to know what the truth is. Open your Bible to John 14, verse 6, and say, Mr. Jehovah Witness, this is what God says. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is the truth? Who would you want to follow, Mr. Jehovah Witness? Do you want to follow Jesus who says he is the truth? Or do you want to follow somebody who's, you know, got houses going up and things like that, you know? Which group would you like to follow? Do you think if the tables were switched, Mr. Jehovah Witness, and you were in this house and I came to your door and I'm knocking at your door, that I could persuade you with this amount of fact that you would grab a watchtower and follow me? They'll go, no. Well, then, who should we follow? They'll say, Jesus. You can pray with them right then. Right then, you will see the Holy Spirit just go right into their life right then. It's so neat. I've seen them 40 years a Jehovah Witness. In fact, we led one to the Lord, my wife, 50 years a Jehovah Witness. I mean, you know, it's so long to be in anything. But the Holy Spirit, you know, I like what Corrie Ten Boom used to say. There's no pit so deep that Jesus isn't deeper still. In other words, he can reach wherever they're at. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to share it with them. And you know, some of them will say to you, they'll say, well, those things are... In fact, I was at a fellow's house one day, and I was just sitting there because I like to do this. You know, I mean, I really enjoy one-to-one stuff, too. I don't know. I just get excited with it, you know. I just love to see him coming to the Lord at any level. And I was at this fellow's house. He invited some Jehovah's Witnesses over. And he said, Eric, would you come over? And I said, yeah, man, that'd be fun. So I went over and I sat there, you know, and this guy's in there, you know, and he's going through all these, I let him just talk on for a few minutes. And then I started talking to him just the way I was sharing with you. And he said, well, what is your name? I said, just call me Albert. That's my middle name, see. Because a lot of them know me, so Albert's as good as any, right? You don't have to give them every letter. And they say, oh, Albert, well, what's your last name? Last names don't mean anything. Just call me Albert. I'll call you. What's your first name? Bill? Great. Bill? Okay. I'll be Albert, you be Bill. Listen, I might ask you some silly questions. Don't get mad, okay, Bill? Okay. So we get into this whole thing. Every 5 minutes, this guy wanted to know my name. What is your name? I said, what is this, investigation week or what, you know? I mean, why are you so excited about the name? Doesn't make any difference. Let's just go on with this. And then he really got excited. He said, well, all of these things are out of context. I said, is that right? Man, I am excited to know that. Can you tell me which ones you've looked up? And so I can mark them. You know, I want to mark them here. He said, well, I've seen them all. You've seen them all. You mean I can mark them all, cross them all out, huh? Yes. Bill, you really have looked them all up. Yes. Well, listen, you don't mind sitting there for a few minutes. I have all of those old books right here, you see? They're right here, you see? And I've got them underlined, and I have the page before and the page after, so we can make sure they're in context, you know? And would you please mark that for me, you know, the ones you told me were all out of context? You want to see checkmate? That's it. I mean, and he told me, he said, well, I said, hey, Bill, you really weren't telling me the truth, really, huh? You really want to know Jesus? I led him to the Lord right then. In the last 2 years alone, how many Jehovah's Witnesses do you think have left the Watchtower Sign? You think 10,000 would be good? 20,000? 50,000? Do you know in the last 2 years alone, over 250,000 Jehovah's Witnesses have left the Watchtower? That is a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. I just went to a convention in Pennsylvania. There were about 500 ex-Jehovah's Witnesses there. It was exciting to see them just worshiping the Lord, coming to know Jesus. How many in here have friends or relatives that are Jehovah's Witnesses? Put your hand up. Okay, I want you to get up and come right up here. You didn't know I was going to do that, did you? Shame on you. That's all right. Doesn't make any difference. Come on up. And I'll tell you why you're coming. Don't worry, we're not going to have an offering. I'll tell you why as you're coming. The Lord was so good to us. Give him a lot of room right here. Just spread out there and give him a lot of room. The Lord was so good to our family. And we used to go over here to a gym. A bunch of weightlifters were over there and everything. And I didn't even know these guys. I mean, I didn't even know who they were or anything. And they were praying for our family. And I remember coming into the gym, and I'd go into the gym, and I'd see this whole group of guys, and they'd just go off in the corner, and I'd hear them go, Jesus, you know. And I think, oh, man, what weirdos, you know. And I didn't know they were praying for our whole family. And they actually, I honestly believe that they prayed us out. Now, I know, you know, I'm not one of the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it group. You know what I mean? I mean, I pretty well let you know that right off. I don't believe you can run out and pray over some guy's car and miraculously he's going to drive it to your house, you know? Yeah. But I believe that we're in the center of God's will when we pray for souls. You know that? I believe that's where we're at. And see, you're praying for souls. I don't know who you're praying for. The person next to you doesn't know, but Jesus does, doesn't he? He knows. He knows. So what we're going to do is, first of all, this is the part Satan hates. He hates this part. I want to guarantee you he hates it. Is that we're going to pray for your relatives and your friends that are caught in these cults. And we're going to ask Jesus to deliver them in 1988. Amen? Now, I don't have to guess whether I'm in his will. I know I'm in his will when we pray for souls. So grab somebody's hand You know, the Lord says where there is one, 1,000 flee. Where there's two, 10,000 flee. So we got a bunch of demons screaming and yelling. Amen? That's always exciting. All right, let's just pray right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for every person. And Lord, we pray, first of all, for these folks that are up here right now, very specifically for their friends, for their relatives that are bound in these cults. And Lord, that you can move into their lives in a very special way, that you can set the captive free, that you can heal their minds. And Lord, right now, we come against Satan in Jesus' name. Satan, we bind you, you liar. You get your filthy hands off of these people. You get them off of their minds and off of their families. And Lord, we ask now that you bring the gospel to these people, that they be able to see the real Jesus in their life. And Lord, we ask that you bring them out in 1988. And Lord, we give you the praise for that. And we thank you right now, even as we're praying, that we know we're in your will. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and then take your seat. Glory. Hallelujah. If you don't get a hug, shame on you. Now, I have all the ushers watch those doors real good. Glory to God. We're going to pray that a Jehovah Witness will come to your door. How many will pray that prayer with me? Put your hand up. Glory to God. Now, Jesus seen that. He seen that when you were going, oh, God, should I, you know. He seen it. He seen that guy next to you push it up, you know. But, you know, I had one fellow, we prayed in the morning, did the morning service, and I prayed. And that evening, I come back, and he come running up to me. He said, you know, he said, I had your book. I got all the material. He says, I got everything. He says, and I had it in my garage. And he said, and I was out there just kind of cleaning up, and there they came. He said, I had forgot where I had put it and everything. And he said, I was just all confused. And he said, I didn't know they were coming that quick. I said, well, hey, man, you know, when you pray, I don't know when they're coming either. But, you know, kind of be prepared. You know, be ready for some spiritual warfare. Now, I want to show you one other little book, which I think is really neat. This is step one. Step two, I always hide in my Bible. See that? It's a little cheat sheet. See that? I don't know how many we have. We don't have too many of them. So if you want one, you better go back there quick. Anyway, what happens is, this is step one. This will lead them to the Lord. And in here, this book is like a deprogramming manual. It goes over every doctrine that Jehovah's Witnesses have. And it gives a brief statement, and it gives the Christian answer. And what we have done is use this to have Bible studies with them. After they accept Jesus, they still have all this stuff in their mind. So we use the expose to lead them to the Lord, and then we use this ready answers to deprogram them. And it works great. I can just tell you that. It just works great. All right. The Lord's seen all those hands. Amen? All right, we're going to pray. But before we do that, I'm going to give everybody that may be here tonight an opportunity to come to know Jesus. Because we always want to do that. So let's just pray that prayer first. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you can set the captive free. Lord, that you told us, you know, that you love us so much that you want us to come to know you on a real personal, intimate basis. And Lord, there may be some here tonight that don't know you that way. They just don't know you in any personal way. And if there's some here tonight, well, all the heads are bowed. If there's somebody here tonight that would like to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to forgive your sins, to put your name in the book of life, this can be your night. This can be a very special, exciting night for you. I'm just going to wait a second, and if that is you and the Lord spoke to you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're at, and then I'm going to pray with you. The Lord knows your heart, and I'll just have a very simple prayer with you. I'm not going to make you get up. I'm just going to pray with you. But you know, Jesus is so good. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't say, well, tomorrow, the next day, or when I'm real good, because you'll never be real good. Jesus will make you good. We'll just wait a minute. Give everybody an opportunity. All right? Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that you do love Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and that you can set them free from those doctrines of demons. Lord, I ask right now that you anoint every person in here that raised their hands, that you equip them with everything that they need to be fully equipped when they open that door, that they'll be able to share Jesus, be able to share the love of the Lord with those Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons when they come to the door. And Lord, we pray right now for every hand that went up, that you will bring a Jehovah Witness to that person's door and that they'll be home. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, before I let you go, I want to give you my wife. Is my wife here someplace? My wife left me. How do you like that? No. She's out that way. I think that's where they put the table with the books and stuff. Out that way. Anyway, God bless you and have a wonderful evening in the Lord. Amen.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often, and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. But Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. And may the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do, everything you say. And welcome to the family.